story.
Hello everyone, Craig here. Welcome to another edition of the podcast, Tell Craig Your Story. Today we welcome back Dania Gu. Now Dania is the creative director of the Red Box Theatre Show. And Dania also talked about her two new productions. And we have Dania back on the show to review the highly controversial Netflix documentary, Tinder Swindler. And there's a lot of talking points on this documentary. So we want your opinion as well. What do you think about the Netflix documentary, Tinder Swindler? You can write your comment on all of our social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But before we go, please go to our website. We're at Podbean. Tell Craig Your Story at podbean.com. We have a link tree there which tells you where Tell Craig Your Story podcast is streaming. We are on all the major streaming services at Tell Craig Your Story. We also have WeChat and Little Red Book for our Chinese listeners. And we have VK for our Russian listeners. All right, here we go. This is my chat with Dania talking about the Netflix documentary Tinder Swindler on Tell Craig Your Story podcast. Hi, Dania. How are you doing today?
Hi, Craig.
Good to see you again.
Yes, good to see you.
We crossed paths, or we actually didn't see each other, but we were both in Japan at the same time this year.
And last year in New York, I remember.
Last year in New York, yeah. How was those experiences? Have you been to Japan before?
I've been to Japan before, but the last time I went was 15 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so it has been a while.
Yeah.
And I really feel like Japan's gotten a lot more international. So this time when I went, I feel like it was okay for me to speak English.
Yeah.
Like 15 years ago when I spoke English to people, I still have that sense of like people were really nervous talking to me. I had to kind of speak very, very slowly, or I have to write in characters so they get it. But now, like, I feel like their English is so much better, and I always enjoy go there. But you know, like, it's been so close. Like, Japan to us is like only 1.5 hours, 2 hours flight.
It's closer to Osaka than it is to Beijing.
Yeah, so that's why I kind of always try to travel a bit further out.
Yeah.
So I never really chose Japan as a destination until like this year. So
what do you think of it? Like, what's it?
First of all, I was shocked by how cheap it is.
Yeah.
Like compared to everything that I used to. So it was nice to not to worry about spending money, because it was just like very, very affordable. Like even a good meal, it's like I don't even have to think too much. So that was a really nice surprise. And and overall, I just like it does feel a bit strange that I could hear Chinese, Mandarin and Shanghainese everywhere that's around me. So I didn't really feel like I was out of China.
Yes.
I was like, even I go to a drugstore, people would just walk up to me and start speaking Mandarin to me. I was just like, this is so strange.
Yes. Even in Australia.
I went back there
November, and I think must have been living in Chinatown, because there was more Mandarin than English.
And you can hear it. It's just around you.
I just traveled 12 hours to get away from that.
Exactly, right? So I guess if I do go back to Japan next time, I want to go to more countryside.
Where did you go to? Was it Kyoto?
Kyoto and Osaka. And I loved Kyoto no matter what, because it really still have that essence of Japan.
Yes.
Like I do not want to go to Tokyo. I've been there once many years ago, and I just feel like I already live in a metropolitan city, and going from one metropolitan to it's just like to me, it's not really worth my time. So
I
this time I purposely stayed in Kyoto a bit longer, only a few days in Osaka. So that was okay.
Yeah.
I still tried to stay away from the man crowd.
Yeah, no, Kyoto is very, very traditional. I loved it as well.
Yeah, and then my big recommendation is just go rent an Airbnb, get a nice traditional house if you have a few more people traveling with you. It's really, really affordable, and it's so much better than staying in a hotel, because if you've been to Japan, the hotel is tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's really, for me, it's not worth it. It's But if you rent like a house, a traditional house in Japan, it's really nice. They have a kitchen and they have the tatami room, nice. And they have a nice little garden, and you end up pretty much the same much amount of money that you would spend in a hotel, yeah. but getting so much more.
Yeah, I stayed the first time I stayed there, it was pods, little pods. Oh my god, I'll never do that again. But it was a good experience because
you don't have to like just fit in, yeah. right? Like that's like, yeah, and I don't even know how you sleep at night. Because just, you're not Japanese size.
No, it was just like a one bed, one bathroom as well on the level, yeah. like 20, 30 people there. So the lineup to have a, just to brush your teeth God. Was, yeah, it was an experience.
Yeah, but, it was an experience. Never again.
No. But yeah, Japan was nice. And New York?
Oh my goodness. Last year, so the time we went back to New York was nearly five years ago before yeah. COVID. So it was a five years, so it's a huge difference to yes. me. Like, I mean, obviously everything got so much more expensive. Like tips are insane. Like,
yeah. it's like I'm still confused.
You can't, people chase you down yeah. if you don't. But it's like, it really is crazily expensive, but I think New York will always be New York. There's something magical about it,
yeah.
and I don't think the city will ever lose it. Like it's so funny because New Yorkers are very strict shooters. If you don't like something, they will just say the F word in front of you, and then like they never watch lights. You know, they always just cross whenever they want to. It's that kind of attitude. I don't think it will ever change really, yes. and. I still people always think New York is not safe, but to me New York is always very safe. At yeah. least like when I was a student back in 1998, I never really felt not safe. Like yeah. I would, because my class sometimes runs very late at night, and I would stay at a library till probably like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah. and then I'd walk back to where I live. That's in the East Village, and I don't think there was once that I felt like I'm going to get attacked from behind or something. Never really. And even this time going back, I was feeling quite safe at night. But it's a very different feeling than I would walk around, say, in Italy at night or even in London. I don't feel the same sense of safety. It's really weird. It's, you know, like it's, you would think New York will be more dangerous, but I think maybe after Giuliani, maybe after 9/11, the city just got so much more police.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And also people just can't afford to live there yes. anymore. So yes. it actually got cleaned up a yes. lot. Like, yes. again, I don't feel dangerous if yeah. I just walk into a bar by myself. And yeah. But I don't do that in London. I don't do that in Italy. Forget about it. It's yeah. just not, I don't feel safe. So I do feel New York is quite safe. And that won't change, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's always nice to go back. It really does feel like another home to me.
And you got to see some Broadway shows?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I went to see Aunt Juliet and Hades Town.
Right.
And we saw a new one called Shook. Right. And it was also very, very good. It's new and it's really witty and funny. And Aunt Juliet is just a really, really good jukebox musical.
Yes.
So that one I really, really like. Yeah, wow. And Hades Town is a great storyline, and it's. But in all honesty, like I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the shows I watched. But if you ask me if I seen a show that really grabbed me, like the way that some of other shows that used to grab me, no, I didn't see it last year.
Oh.
I don't think there was one production that really, really hit hard for me. Like 5 years ago when I went back, like I saw Anastasia. And I saw a Carousel, and then both of these musicals, I would just love to go back and see it over and over because it really just touched me in a very deep level.
Yes.
But I think now in New York, because people are trying to be politically correct all the time, so sometimes they will make certain choices that it really makes no sense to me. It's like feels that they have to do it. Like they have to put a transgender in every single production just for the sake of having one in there. And they have to put the Asian in there just because they have to balance out the racial structure. I mean, yes, it's good for me as Asian to see that, but I don't like to be cast just because
yeah.
you make that number right. No. You know, I don't want to be that number, right?
Exactly.
You know, I want to be cast because I'm good.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or I have something special.
Yeah,
not because I'm transgender or because I fit into a racial profile. You know, I think that to me has gone a little bit too far in general. And I think it's not just on the stage, it's on the screen, it's everywhere. And I think and I hope that phase will pass. It will. It's because I believe the system's always self-correct. It's always, it will self-correct at some point. But
so sensitive, aren't they?
Yes. It's so extremely sensitive. And it's something that you can't even really talk about.
Yeah.
If you are, then you don't support our community. Yeah. It's like, I'm just like,
you just get thrown into one category. It's just,
And I don't like that, you know, like as a creator or like a writer, I'm very open mind, but when you start to cast black people for Snow White, and when you start to cast, there's something fundamentally really wrong.
Yes.
Okay, for instance, like you will never cast a white man to play Othello just because Shakespeare wrote he's a Moor, right?
Yes.
And then, but why not? You know, like if by your logic, then you should cast somebody really white to play Othello, right? And then, but you don't do that. So why do you do the other way? That's still like mind-boggling to me.
And the one that I went to was Back to the Future, and it was good.
Okay,
that was good, but again, that whole being super sensitive, they was the Back to the first Back to the Future, and the part where the Israelis or the Muslims, they say in the movie, they totally changed it, and plutonium. And they changed it to like a goo or something. They totally changed it for not to be racist. And it's like, oh, come on. But anyway, it was still a good production. And they had the whole symphony underneath the stage.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Redbox.
Yes.
I haven't talked to you for a while about the Redbox. So what's the latest updates? You tell me you're doing two new productions now,
yes.
Which is awesome, but still going strong at the Pearl.
Well, as I'm aware. Redbox will always be at the Pearl. That I very firmly stand by it, because there have been other venues asking for it, but I don't want to do it just because the DNA doesn't fit. Like, I really feel Redbox is a lot more traditional cabaret show.
Yes, so it agreed.
Only fits to a venue like Pearl, right? Yes. And but I just did another Chinese production, which is also combined with food and drink. It's also a story. I wrote the songs, and it's in Xintiandi. So that opened in December last year.
Nice.
And it's still ongoing. We're doing three shows a week.
Nice.
And yeah. So that one's is going actually quite well.
Yeah.
And I'm about to do another one in Changning District in another bar, and also writing a story for them. So it will be more like a jukebox production as well. Yeah. So I get to pick songs and I write a storyline for them, and it's very interesting. And also because it's at a bar, so it's going to be more interactive with people there who are just kind of like combined our show with the audience a bit more.
Nice.
So that's what I'm doing, and I'm also directing another new original musical in July, and the story is basically for teenager students and deal with a lot of their psychology and the depression that a lot of teenagers are facing now. So I've been extremely busy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where do you fit time to sleep and
I don't know. Really. Like I drink until I pass out.
And it says, like, the couple of times that I've been, it was this same people, but I read now that you've got a couple of new cast. Mm-hmm. So correct me if my pronunciation, Wu Junping and
Nia and Wu Junpeng. Yeah, they are fabulous musical theater actors. Wu Junpeng, I consider, is probably one of the best people to play Phantom of the Opera.
Right.
Like, he has that a voice and the ability to play that role. He really does. Unfortunately, like to some Chinese audience, like he's not tall enough or handsome enough, but to me that's never the problem, because
is that still
sometimes it is to a younger audience, okay. generation. And the thing to me is that should never be the problem.
Yeah.
Because he's playing the Phantom, he's not playing Raoul. Yeah, Raoul should be handsome and beautiful and young. Yes.
Yes.
But if you play some if you've been cast as a Phantom, first of all, you don't even show your face most of the time on the stage. So who cares if you're good looking or not?
Yes.
It's the ability of if you can carry the song and touches people, and I really think he does have that.
Got it.
So so that's why I want him to kind of perform more at the Pearl and let people hear his amazing voice.
Yeah.
And Nia also is the amazing musical theater actress that you can, she's so petite and so beautiful, but she has this incredible powerful voice. So we kind of call her the Asian Christina Aguilera.
Nice.
Yeah, she really does have that kind of genie in a bottle kind of thing. Like yes. She's so teeny tiny, but she has this amazing
big voice.
Yeah. Very powerful voice.
Wow.
Hello.
Kiora.
Kiora.
So let's talk about what we're here for.
Okay.
It's a documentary on Netflix, and it came out maybe 2 years ago now, maybe 1 year.
Yeah,
at least
I saw it a year ago.
At least a year ago, yeah. And we did a good one on Marilyn Monroe last time you were here, and that went really good. So this one is a very, I don't know if it's controversial, but there's a lot of talking points and interesting things about it. So it's called the Tinder Swindler. So I think everybody knows now about Tinder and dating, and it's all over the world. You can all different things. So it starts off with these two girls that are trying to look for a date online. A girl from Swiss and one
Finland.
Finland, right? Yeah.
I think so. It was one of the northern European countries.
Yeah. So it starts off all happy. Meets this guy who's seemingly very very rich. And the first girl has a date at this 5-star hotel, gets in a plane, and goes to another country.
Yeah.
Now, there's red flags there all over. And even, like, she's messaging, I don't know if she messaged her parents, but she messaged her friends. Mm. And they're going, what are you doing? Why are you going to Germany or wherever it was? So red flags there. So have you had any sort of, you were talking before about a guy, a person online trying to scam you.
So believe it or not, I still get that every day on Instagram. So they have people out there fishing every day. Like
it's like a job.
So it's not just on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's everywhere. So and there's always like, now the moment you click their link, you see their profile, and then immediately you know it's a scam. And I will tell you it's all like guys either working out, like pictures posting themselves working out, or in a fancy restaurant, or somewhere traveling, like very nice scenery, or they're holding a cat or dog, so they are loving and animal like lovers, and so with some like really first class like seat in a private jet or something. It's always like that. It's always like that. And so immediately once you click and you see their profile, you know there's no brainer. It's a scammer. And I think for the Tinder Swindler, the reason why he really kind of got away was because he was at the beginning of that time when nobody really reported this kind of scam yet. I think now with being more and more reports out.
Oh yes, definitely.
Women are a lot more aware of it. And also that, like, I don't want to say that, like, you know, I don't blame the woman necessarily. It's because you know, when a good thing happens, you really wish that's you. You know, you really wish you had that lucky one. And everybody does. You know, it's like if you scratch a lottery ticket and then it says you won, you really wish, you believe it, you won, right? Yes. And who knew that those tickets could be fake? You don't know.
Yes.
Right? So it's the same thing, right?
That's the big heart, caring, and just wanting to be...
Yeah.
You want to be loved.
You want to be loved. You want to be that lucky one. Life is hard. You know, being single is hard.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily blame the woman. You know, I still blame the guy that I still don't know how he got away with this all. Like, it's insane to me because he is the one needs to be really punished.
Yeah.
And no, right now it's all this woman still paying out the credit card debts that they're taking out to give it to him. And they are still paying the consequences. And then he's out there on the street going to Hollywood, selling his story to producers. It makes me feel like this world is really, really is going.
Yeah, where is the world going? Like, but what type of person are you to do that, to lie to somebody, to have someone open their heart and say all these things that you're gonna do, and then all of a sudden just turn it around and just go.
It's a job for him.
Yeah.
I think that's why he can do it.
Because he was a professional.
It's a professional. He's a professional. He's a professional scammer.
Yeah.
And people like that, they will never stop because they get a high off it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like addiction. It's like a drug.
But there's just no. It's okay to lie. It's okay to be a completely different person.
I don't think in his mind he was lying, really. Yeah. He felt like he contributed to the woman's fantasies. He did provide emotional fantasies that they craved. So I believe he convinced himself that he wasn't lying, that he did give them what they want, and he did do that to a certain extent. That's why they fell for it, right? Because they did feel like they were special and they were loved and they were cared for. But that's not true. And I'm telling you, like, people like that everywhere.
Yeah.
And if it's like, if there's a need, then there's a provider for it.
So interesting. And like, he put the pictures on his profile of the so-called mom and the dad, who was a diamond, and just put his photo right next to it, and it looked like they were having like a family holiday. And he gets them to get credit cards and put it under their name and then transfer the money to him. So he's just got it all worked out. So he was going, he got it from one girl, and then he'd go to the next country and get the money from that girl and then spend it on the next.
I scammed the other
and
one.
Just,
yeah.
And just, that was just like a going around.
Yeah.
So how does he remember? How does he not slip up and just...
It's a full-time job. I believe he actually stayed up and creating profiles for each one. It's not easy for him to do what he's doing. I don't think the kind of work that he does, anyone can pull it off. You have to have that kind of discipline in a way, and to remember who is who, and not to call the wrong name or send the wrong text, right? And I also don't believe it's a one-man job. I do not believe it's a one-man job. I believe he has helps. I believe he has a team that work for him or with him in order to pull such a scam off.
And just all the things here. And now the girls are out there going on all these TV shows now promoting it.
Yeah.
But you can go on Instagram now and... Now they've got 500,000 followers.
Yeah.
A million followers now. Yeah. So I guess in the long term financially, but now that they've done the documentary, they're pretty...
I don't know. Like, to me, it's that, like, you know, this kind of scam is not new. Like, it has happened before in a different format. You know, not online dating, but there's different way. I don't know if you remember back in the days when we were writing letters, so there's a pen pal.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, they were scammed her this way. So, like I say, this is not new. None of this is new. It's just gotten a lot more convenient for the scammers, and for the people on the other side, it's easier to lose their money because it's easier for them to fall for it. But now I look at it, I'm just like, he did spend a lot of money to set himself up at the profile that he is too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But now if you look at it from the 2024 perspective, so much of it, what he did, I could have done on a computer screen.
Yeah.
And then to do it even better.
Yeah.
I don't even have to go out and rent a car and posing, or I don't even need to be actually physically on a private jet. Everything can be done digitally, right? So the scam like this will just be more and more and more.
Yes.
But because of that, I also feel women are getting also smarter and more smarter because they start to question the moment they see a profile that's that perfect. Because nobody's that perfect.
Yeah.
Right? And you got to know who you are as well. Like, why would they pick you? Why do you think you deserve all of this?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's also the question women need to ask themselves constantly.
And you said before, like, do you feel sorry for the girls that they lost all that money?
Yeah, I do. Because it is hard earning money.
Yeah.
Right? But nobody put a gun to their head.
That's true. That's true. And I guess, like, if you give £30,000... That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's like almost a full-time salary for some people. And then he goes, okay, got it, thanks. Oh, now I need $20,000.
Yeah.
Well, don't you just say, well, where's the $30,000 that you spent last week? I won't give it to you until...
I think he's very good at gaslighting people.
He just had it in the palm of his hands. I'm just gonna
and then I don't think he wastes that much time on one person. If A doesn't give it to him, he will try B, and he will try C, so one of them will fall for it.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's actually wasting that much time on one person.
He was, what is he saying, that they're gonna get married and telling her to go to a house, like an apartment. So you've got a 15,000.
He will write a fake check that you can never cash. Yeah, like things like that. So,
and the other girl gave him over $100,000, and then it's like, oh, when we meet up, I'll give you like a $20,000 watch. And they went to the pawn it, and it was a fake one.
Yeah. So, again, I in Chinese there's a saying that 女儿要富养.
Yeah.
That means when you're raising a daughter, you make sure like she, her mind and her eyes are wide open, and you let her see the good things before there's a boy come back and show her.
Yeah.
So like, I still remember that, like, both my parents are government workers, so they are not like, they don't have loads of money. We grew up very middle class. So, but my mom will always take me like once or twice a year to a very fancy five-star hotel restaurants, and we'll have afternoon tea there. We'll dress up, we'll go have afternoon tea.
Nice.
And the idea that she say to me is that, like, I want you to know this is not that special. You can have it as well. We can afford it. Not a problem. It's a choice.
Yeah.
So, you know it, you taste it. It's not something you have to really drool for it, yes. Right? And then the moment you have it, you know that it's there. Then you don't feel like, oh, why can't I have it? Why don't I have it? You always, so the moment somebody give that to you, you would just like go home with that person.
Yes.
I was always told that way. Like, so even though like my parents came from a middle class, I was sent to private schools and I was getting the same education that like some of the really richest kid can have, but I never felt like I was less just because I feel like if you work hard enough, it's not that hard to get what you want. And that's not the most important thing in the world.
Yeah.
So that value, if it's being set right, I believe your kid, the likely of your daughter fall for it is a lot less.
Yes.
But if you always stop her of getting what she wants and then say, oh, we are not rich enough to have it. We don't deserve this. You don't deserve pretty clothes. That if you keep saying that to your daughter, that maybe one day, like when somebody come by and then say, okay, you know what, since you really deserve it, your parents were wrong, you know, you deserve pretty things, you deserve good stuff, then I'll show it to you. Then the girl is very likely to fall for it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I believe it's a whole value thing that's yes. that was set up. And yeah. it's really funny because I really thought that this would be actually taught, like in terms of class, like different classes, it will be less happening in the West. That means that like you don't have the sense of classism, but it's actually not true. Like Ron was growing up in Brooklyn, and before he met me, he has never been to a Broadway show,
right?
Because he felt like that's not something that their class of people would do. Right. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, what are you talking about? And then so like when he met me in college, because he went to a private school, but he got scholarship for it. He went to NYU, also got scholarship for it. Mm. And so he really, his parents, like my father-in-law is a bus driver and my mother-in-law is a school teacher. Right. So they're very modest family, but yeah. like to him, like he would never really walk into any shop on Fifth Avenue.
Right.
And so I was like, why can't you walk in? It's not like you need to buy stuff. Yeah. You can walk in.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
his fundamental, there's something will like really stop him to do that because he feel like that's not in his neighborhood. That's not his world. He shouldn't ever. But I never have that taught in me. So I was like, why can't I get in? Unless somebody actually physically stop me.
Yeah.
I'm just going in. I don't need to, when if I go in doesn't mean I need to buy something, but I can just walk around. And I think that mindset really was taught by my mom. Like my mom would just take me to like, you know, LV or Gucci, look at things, never buy anything, but yeah. we would just look at things and try it out. And my mom says, okay, if you work hard enough, then you can get it yourself. Yes. And I think that's really healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than like the fear of, oh, you don't deserve going in. You shouldn't go in because we are not that circle. We are not in that class. I was never told that way. Like in Taiwan, we don't have that sense.
Yes.
You don't belong there or you don't belong there. But I think in America, there are still so much so in their
England as well,
right? And then see, that is something I never had. I never had that sense of like, why can't I go into this restaurant? Why can't I go there? Like, why can't I wear this? Why can't I buy that? It's like,
My dad told me the story about going to London and trying to find like a nice, cause he didn't bring a suit. So he needed to buy a suit for her. And the people that were working there, he went, he just wearing like normal, just jeans and a, and it's like, oh, what are you doing in this? Oh, in yeah. this
in this shop.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What just, you don't belong here.
Yeah.
yeah.
What are you here for?
It's so rude.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But that's like again, that is something I'm not used to because yeah. I didn't grow up in that kind of environment. So I don't have that boundary or barrier built inside of me. And I also think because of that, like if you want to trick us like by showering us gifts, and it will be a lot harder. I really believe that in our society. Yeah. But in America or in England, I think that's a lot easier. If you dingle that in front of some poor girl yeah. and then they feel like, oh my God, you actually, you know, you mean I can actually break out of my class and then get in there. Like, yeah, yeah, it's again, I never feel that way.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't have that in my head. My daughter, that's the fear I have for my daughter. Sometimes I just like, hey, let's go to this shop, let's look at things, and then she will have a panic attack. I'm like, why are you having a panic attack? And she's like, mom, this makes me really uncomfortable. I'm like, then you need to get comfortable with it.
Yes.
Because if you are not comfortable, that means you feel like you don't deserve, you don't belong, that we have a real problem. That means like if some guys just say, take you here, take you there, then you will just easily be dangled to, right? Because yeah. my husband still won't do that. But if I say, hey, I want to go to look for that, you know, purse and stuff, he will walk in with me because he knows he can't stop me.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
like with our daughter, I am going to do more and more with that. I take her, every time we travel, I make sure I take her to a Michelin star restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's not that I want to give her the most expensive food. It's that I want her to have that taste or experience of it, so she knows what good taste is. And that's very hard to teach.
Yes.
If you are just staying in one place, right? You need to open her eyes and let her experience so she knows what's good and what's bad.
Yes.
And not be so easily dazzled by the things outside.
Yeah. It's something that needs to be taught.
Yeah.
And if you teach her at that age, I think, yeah, it really helps
her. Yeah, and I think it builds her confidence as well. So yes. She doesn't feel like it's such a big deal.
Yes.
And I purposely did that with her in Paris, I think last time. I went to an LV and I bought a bag there and then just let her see the whole entire experience. It wasn't so much, hey, you know, we're buying expensive bag. It was so much so it was like, yes, we can work in here. Your mom worked hard enough to save enough money to get something for herself. It's not like, oh, I'm begging a man for it. No, I make the money myself. Or I can work in there and I can buy something for myself. I think that shows a very strong statement.
Yes.
For our daughter as well.
Agreed. And as a mother, are you concerned about like watching something like Tinder Swindler?
Yes, but that's why I say, because of that,
yeah, people know
I am more concerned of setting her value, right?
Yeah.
So it's less likely she will get like dazzled away by some fake billionaire.
And is it happened in China as well? I'm assuming it does as well. Like,
it's very different.
Yeah.
It's very different. I think here it's both ways, like Wang Hong, you know, the socialite here, the fake socialite here is a lot to scam guys' money, like so it's works very differently. Worked very, very differently. You know they are gold diggers, and I don't blame how people call them that, but I don't actually find that it's necessary to call them as well, because people do want to break out their own class, and if they meet somebody who can give them, who can provide for them,
yes,
and if they are honest about it, I don't think it's necessary the worst thing in the world, as long as you are honest about it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think in China it's very different. It's very different also in Shanghai, because Shanghai women are not the same like the rest of the Chinese. They are very, very unique.
Yes.
They have money. They're incredibly intelligent. They're very well educated. So they don't really need men.
Yeah.
in a sense.
So changed, but that's that whole modern girl is changing.
It's changing.
Yeah.
It's very much.
And you can have your own kid. You don't have to have a man anymore. You can technology and
and also because Shanghai with the one child policies here in China, most of the Shanghainese girls in my generation or even 10 years younger, they were born with two apartments.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
Like, the moment they were born, they have it. Right. So they have choices.
Yeah.
That means they don't necessarily need to marry for money.
Yeah.
They can choose who they want to marry or not to marry. And I think that's why I really love Shanghai. And that's why I really respect Shanghainese girls, because they are so intelligent and smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Independent.
They're very independent.
Yeah. So, and on the flip side of the Tinder Swindler, two of my best friends have met their wives online, not on Tinder, but online dating.
Yes, that's very common.
And amazing stories. They've got kids now, and that's great. But
I believe that too.
Yeah, so it's not all doom
and
gloom.
It's not all bad.
But you have to be conscious of it, doing anything online. Just any sort of, anytime you put a credit card on there, and my bank,
super aware.
My bank is calling up all the time because they know that I live in China.
Ah.
So they, anytime I use it here in China, they're calling up going,
are you sure it's you?
Do you want to, it was 3:00 in the morning and it was 1:04 in the morning. We're going to close your account and
so
come and talk to us.
Yes. You have to be like super aware, I think, with a lot of things that's outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe any of the information is being protected. Yeah. It doesn't matter you're in China, in the US. I believe our information constantly getting sold to other people.
Of course.
It's just like I'm always aware and conscious about, because like to be like, oh, you don't put anything online, like, you know what, it doesn't matter, our information being sold like way too many times already. You just have to be careful.
But you have to if you're a business, or
otherwise how can you, like, you can't do tradings online if you don't ever put anything
you have to.
So I always say that, like, you know, you have to be careful, but you can't just let that stop you to do anything.
No.
You know, because like I sometimes have to buy scripts online, and I do that a lot because all the scripts are copyright, right? And so I do have to pay, and sometimes people are just like, oh, are you trusting this site? I'm like, well, you know, most of those script write sites are so small, like they are like education based or some like school based, that like they would charge me like $12 for it. And if I just question that every time I do it, I can't get anything done. It would not help my work. So
here's something I just we're talking about that AI and scripts.
Yeah.
Is that a positive or a negative in your opinion?
I see a positive. I really do.
Why?
Because no matter how much AI can do, they still can't do from 0 to 1.
That's right. Yeah.
So as long as 0 to 1 still belongs to the human head, I'm very forward, because they actually saves a lot of times.
The AI needs the human brain.
It does, because it's all about how do we commanding it.
Yeah.
It's how do we give command, right? If we don't give the right command, it won't actually create result. It's not like I sleep and I wake up and the AI will write me a script. No, it still needs me to give its command. It still needs me to give the direction. It still needs me to tell it what to do, where to go.
Yeah.
So I actually see it in a positive way, that it will save a lot of time.
Yeah.
So sometimes paperwork can be very, very, very time consuming, and it does create some baseline for it. You still need to go back and edit, but it does save time. But as long as it cannot do 0 to 1, and I don't believe it can do that for a long time.
Yeah.
Then I don't think it will be replaced. I think my job is still safe.
Yeah.
Because a lot of time people, you know, AI can write songs. So I'm like, yeah, but if I don't give it command, it can't write anything.
That's right.
Yeah. So you still need me to give its command. So if you tell me AI can write songs, then you just have it write, and then you can fire me for it and just have your computer write it for you. And until you can do that, you still need me.
And even if it does get to that stage in the future, people are still going to go out and watch a show.
Yeah, because we still need a body, a warm body. We still need that somebody breathing next to you. I really think that human touch is very important. We cannot, humans are not, we cannot live in solidarities.
Yeah.
Like if you look at prisons, like the worst punishment is always you put someone in a single cell that drive that person completely crazy. It's the worst punishment.
Yes.
And it's because as humans, we are not cats. We cannot live by our own. We need each other. And that's just part of being human.
Yeah.
And as long as we have that, a lot of life performance will never be replaced.
Yeah.
It's just not the same thing. And I don't really worry about that, especially after COVID. People actually create more and more live shows, because for a very long time they couldn't have it. So that's why the business it's really good.
Perfect.
Yeah, really good.
And future? What's the future? You said before you got two.
Yeah, two restaurants. That's running. One's running, one's about to run, and I'm doing a huge production in July. That will be the Huangpu Theater. So
What are the dates?
July 6th and 7th.
Yes.
That will be that for that. It's called Be Happy Vanessa, and another one that's coming out in the Changning District will be run end of June as well.
Right.
And the other show that's in Xintiandi is currently running, so I will invite you to come.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Craig.
I know you're a busy, busy girl, but really do appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nigel the Shanghai Psychic. I can tune into your loved ones in the spirit world, but I can also tune into you, tell you about your path and the choices that you need to make and need to know. I'm currently giving 30% discount on all Tell Craig Your Story listeners. Just use the code Tell Craig Your Story for 30% off your first psychic reading with me online at Nigel the Shanghai Psychic.
Hi, I'm Tony Fair, founder of Victorian Grooming Company. Is your beard feeling dry or the skin underneath itchy? Maybe you'd rather soften and tame your beard instead. Our classic collection of beard oils, balms, and soaps will leave your beard looking, feeling, and smelling amazing. And if you prefer shaving, our pre-shave oils and shave soaps will give you a smooth and razor burn-free shave. Handmade in Edmonton with natural ingredients, visit VictorianGrooming.com.